Kichai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kichai. Premsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Binda Kichai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinata Shama Kundradha Kund Giti Govardhan Kichai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Sri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Sri Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Sri Dwaraka Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jagat Mangalam Advaita. Mangala Gunadham. Mangala Charitra Sada, Mangala Yandranam, Jagat Mangala Madvaita, Mangala Gunadham, Mangala Charitra Sada, Mangala Yandranam. Jagat Mangala Advaita, Mangala Gunadham, Mangala Charitra Sada, Mangala Yandranam.
Amen.
Jagat Mangala.
All auspicious for the world.
Advaita.
Advaita Acharya.
Mangala Guna Dham.
The reservoir of all auspicious attributes.
Mangala Charitra.
All characteristics are auspicious.
Sada.
Always.
Mangala.
Auspicious.
Yandra Nam.
Whose name?
Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaitacharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and names are always auspicious.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditioned life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruit of activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of the material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself. For such activities, free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection.
Om Agyantimirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya
Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadapi Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Thank you for coming to be with us on this auspicious Sunday morning. Yesterday was the appearance day of Sri Advaita Prabhu. So we are speaking from this verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which, along with the purport, is describing one of the names of Sri Advaita Prabhu is Mangala, which means he is supremely auspicious. He is the fountainhead of all auspiciousness. And therefore anyone who connects with him in any way through positive devotional service becomes infused with auspiciousness. Homa pavitra pavitrova sarabhavastam gatopiva yasmarek pundarikaksham sabhaya vyantarasuchi. Because Krishna, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is supremely pure, by associating with him we become purified. And similarly, because he is all auspicious, by associating, we become auspicious. Now, from a philosophical perspective, becoming means being awakened. Because the soul, the jiva within the heart of every living being, is part of Krishna. Mamaivam so jivaloke nityasiddha Krishna prema sadya kabunai. The nature of the soul is we are eternal, we are full of knowledge, and we are full of happiness. Therefore the soul itself is pure. It's only forgetfulness of our pure nature that we identify with so many distractions. We forget who we are. We think, I am this body, I am this mind, and whatever is in relation to the body and mind are mine. This forgetfulness, the scriptures tell us, the saints have warned us, is the source of all suffering, of all complications. But auspiciousness, purity, happiness is our nature. It simply needs to be awakened. Now, how is it possible to be awakened when we have been in a chronic slumber of deep sleep for perhaps millions and millions and millions of births through various species of life? It's quite incredible. Neither lightning or thunder, even atomic bombs, even destructions of universes, has not wakened us up yet. So how are we going to wake up? It's not that an alarm clock is going to wake us up. How many loud noises, how many tragedies, how many situations have happened in this world? Or to speak of Basant Panchami, everywhere in Mumbai there's marriages. And unbelievable how loud the volume is on all the speakers. Just blaring. It's people trying to talk to each other and they're screaming at each other to try to hear. And yet they keep turning the music louder and louder. And that doesn't wake us up. So what is going to wake us up after so long? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Krishna comes to this world. That's the only way we'll wake up. Krishna himself comes to this world to remind us who we are. And he sends his devotees, and especially the transcendental sound vibration of his qualities, his attributes, his pastimes, have the power to awaken us. Golokera premadana harinam sankirtan. And Krishna is so kind, he's descended with all his power of purity and auspiciousness and love in the forms of his holy names to awaken us. Param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. Therefore, there is the greatest auspicious benediction for all of us, is that God has descended in his names. By remembering Krishna through these means, our natural, true, eternal auspiciousness is awakened. Mangala. And when we speak of auspiciousness, what we refer to is something that brings true happiness. When we say this is auspicious, that's what we refer to. Something that actually brings us light and happiness. So this is who Advaita Acharya is. Today, we are going to discuss very tiny portion of a drop from the limitless ocean of what has been revealed about him through our Guru Parampara. It is on this day, the seventh day of the waxing moon of the month of Magh, that Sri Advaita Acharya appeared in this world. The place is Navagram, which is, by today's geographical conceptions, in Bangladesh. not very far from the city of Silate. To get there, you really have to want to go there, because it's quite a remote place. And years ago, when we went to Bangladesh, we so much wanted to go to Navagram, to Sri Advaita Prabhu's birthplace. And they told us, we had a group of brahmacharis, His Holiness Indrajumana Swami Maharaj, we were all together on a Bangladesh yatra. I'd love to bring all of you there someday. We went to Narottam Das Thakur's birthplace. We went to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami's birthplace, and Lokanath Goswami's birthplace, and Haridas Thakur's birthplace, and the place where he was tempted by evil people that he made pure devotees. We went to Pundarik Vidyanidhi's birthplace, Vasudev Dutt, Mukunda Dutt's birthplace. We went to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata's birthplace. We went to Murari Gupta's birthplace. They're all from Bangladesh. Used to be East Bengal. And then we planned with all intentions to go to Advaita Prabhu's birthplace. But we were told you have to go on motorbikes through jungles for about 6-7 hours to get close to it. So we didn't have motorbikes. We didn't have time. So there's no limitation in spiritual life, because just by hearing about it with faith, just by speaking about it, we're actually there. Because these spiritual places are not just geographical, but they're a state of mind. Historically, where Advaita Prabhu appeared in this world, it's there, Navagram. But when we remember the pastimes of Advaita Prabhu and the ecstatic mercy that he revealed in that place, then we are there. So at this moment, we are all sitting very attentively in Navagram. And the only visa or passport we require is faith and attention. You're all there. But if we sleep, then we... The whole idea of going there is to wake up. So we have to be awake in order to wake up. So here we find, who is Advaitacharya? He was born in Navagram to a very great learned devotee, Kuvera Pandit, who was his father, and his mother, a very, very great, great devotee, Nabi Devi. And when he appeared, he was so beautiful, so full of light, and how they were truly praying to Krishna to purify the world through their lives and through their child. So Krishna came in answer to their prayer. We read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita the famous verse, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhakta Kya Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. When Lord Chaitanya appears, he comes in five features. And one is the avatar of bhakti, which means he is the incarnation of a devotee. And this is where his name has been given, Advaita Acharya. Advaita means one, because he is Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Total oneness. And at the same time, he's Acharya. He's taking the role of a devotee to teach by his words and by his example. And there is so much for us to learn through studying his life, which we will briefly do today. Mahavishnu is the first Purusha avatar. We understand from our scriptures that Krishna expands himself, and in all of his expansions, which are none different than him, he performs different transcendental pastimes. Krishna is a simple cowherd boy who's conquered by the gopi's love. He's conquered by the gopa's love. He's conquered by the love of the cows and the goats and the buffaloes. He's conquered by the love of the trees and the flowers and the rivers and the mountains. It's his favorite pastime to be conquered by love. And in order to facilitate that exchange of intimacy, he is forever living in Goloka as a cowherd boy, conquered by Yashoda Mai's love and Nanda Maharaja's love. When he plays his flute, everyone's hearts melt. They know he's God, but his sweetness, his beauty, and his playfulness are so intoxicating with attraction that everyone simply eternally forgets that he's God. Why? Because that's the way he wants it, to facilitate deeper love. The Bhagavad Gita, before describing these wonderful pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find in Bhagavad Gita and in the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam the understanding of who he is. Unless we understand the unlimited power and glory of God, we can't really understand who is Krishna with all this sweetness. And the more Krishna reveals that understanding, the more we see him as simply the ultimate object of our love. So let us, Hare Krishna, let's go back in time to before there was creation. That's about as far back as we can get. Our history books only tell us a few thousand years of history. But Krishna reveals in the scriptures histories of not only this creation, but previous creations. So Krishna in Goloka expands as Balaram, and Balaram expands as the Chaturbhuha, and the Chaturbhuha expands as Narayan, the supreme absolute truth, the controller of all controllers who resides in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. And Narayan expands as another Chaturbhuha, and Shankarshan expands as Karunodakshayi Vishnu, who we sometimes call Maha Vishnu, with great emphasis on this idea of Maha, which means very great. He's so powerful, so incredible, and he's just a mere expansion of Krishna, who's stealing Gopi's clothes, who's stealing butter from Gopis. Mahavishnu is so big. He's laying in the causal ocean, which he expands from himself. And from Mahavishnu comes the Mahatattva, which is the entirety of the material energy, encapsulated in this gigantic, limitless, apparently limitless cloud. And from the pores of his body come all universes. And simply by glancing into this Mahatattva, he impregnates it with all the limitless jivas, or spirit souls, who are karmically bound to take birth in material existence due to previous creations. By his glance, he activates. The glance activates time, which activates the three modes of nature that he has already invested within the Mahatattva. And then all the ingredients of material existence began to materialize. And all living beings are gradually created. He expands as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, as the Lord of each universe. And then he expands as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is the Lord within the heart of every living being. So these are all expansions of Mahavishnu Krishna. And all the various avatars coming from Vaikuntha, they come through Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So all the avatars are incarnations of an expansion of Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu is Advaita. He appears within this world. It's very interesting. Because first, he creates the entire material energy to facilitate people to utilize their free will to try to enjoy separate from Krishna. But then out of his supreme mercy for every living entity, he incarnates, that same Mahavishnu incarnates as Advaitacharya to teach people how to get out of this messy situation. First he creates it. Then he comes to tell us, please, I want to help you get out of it. So this is the super excellent nature of the Absolute Truth. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartite iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual worlds, and I am the source of all material worlds. Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharatram. Maya, the whole illusory energy, is working under my control. And Mahavishnu is a very specific incarnation that's directly doing these things. He's creating the entire material energy and all the illusory effects of material energy. The three modes of material nature are being manifest through his will. And these three modes of material nature are so difficult to overcome. So that same Mahavishnu who has provided all of this just to fulfill our desires of trying to be happy separate from our eternal, natural, spiritual relationship with God, he appears as Advaita in the role of a devotee to teach us through his words and through his example how to transcend all the sufferings of material nature. So in this verse from the 10th canto, 10th chapter of Gita,
Krishna is telling, I'm the source of all spiritual, and in Mahavishnu form, all material worlds. One who engages in my loving service can transcend, can be happy. So Advaita is one, the supreme one truth that's the source of everything that exists, and he's Acharya. He's coming in the role of Dipodi to teach us by his example. And simultaneous, and this is one of the very incredible attributes of Sri Advaita Prabhu, he's also Sadashiva, the original Shiva. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, who's the greatest devotee of the Lord and who's also Advaita, not different than the Lord in his own way. Very special, unique way. Shiva, Vishnu expands himself as Shiva. And how special is Lord Shiva? Cannot be calculated with our human brains. It can only be revealed to us. Throughout the Gaudiya scriptures, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, Sri Chaitanya Mangala, there is great glorifications of Shiva. In fact, in Vrindavan, Lord Shiva is Gopeshwar Mahadev. He's a personal associate of Srimati Radharani. And he takes the form of a gopi to participate as a guardian of the Rasa Leela. So Lord Shiva, such an exalted state. He's a gopi in Vrindavan to assist Sri Radha Gopinath's leelas. And also he appears as a gopa, as a cowherd boy. And he is a special service, our scriptures tell us. He loves to dance. We have all seen Shiva's dancing in the Nataraj form. It's usually Lord Shiva, the dance of the destruction of the cosmic world. You have all seen? He's dancing and there's all kinds of fire around him and demons under him. And so when Lord Shiva dances in the form of his Gunavatar Shiva, he destroys the world. But in his original form, he loves to take the form of a cowherd boy in Vrindavan and dance with Krishna. The cowherd boys love to dance together. Krishna dances for the pleasure of his friends, and his friends dance for the pleasure of Krishna, and the combination of trying to please each other is prema. It's the ras of Vrindavan. The eternal intimacy of loving exchange. And when Advaita Acharya comes in this form in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, one of his specialities is that he dances. So here is Sadashiva appearing as Advaita, and Mahavishnu appearing as Advaita. And we'll discuss that a little later, how that combination creates such an irresistible form of karuna or compassion within this world. So he was given name Kamalaksha because he was so beautiful, and he had such beautiful lotus-like eyes. And he was raised in Navagram, and he was the heart and soul of everybody around him. So kind, so respectful, so learn it. Just a reservoir of all auspiciousness. After some years, both his mother and father passed away from this world. So Sri Advaita Prabhu went to Gaya to perform the last rites for his parents. And after that, he took an opportunity to go on pilgrimage of many of our holy places. Some of the remarkable, notable places he went was Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, there's a banyan tree still there today called Advaita Bhat, where he did his bhajan. It was right on the banks of the river Yamuna in Vrindavan forest. It was there he was absorbed in meditating on Krishna's lila and chanting the holy names of Krishna with such deep love in the mood of a devotee. It wasn't when the Lord, in such an incarnation, takes the role of a devotee, he's not just pretending. He's actually totally absorbed in the mood of tasting the love of a devotee. And he is a devotee. So Sri Advaita, it was there. He was crying for Krishna with such depth and crying for the condition of those who have forgotten Krishna. That the Sambandha Murti of our Sampradaya, Madan Gopal, appeared to him there at Advaita Bhat. This deity, who we now know as Madan Mohan, was originally established by Krishna's great grandson, Vajranab. And then, after many years, disappeared from anyone's vision until Advaita Prabhu, in his begging for the mercy of Krishna for the fallen souls of this world, appeared to him as Madan Mohan. And the very name Madan Mohan very much harmonizes with the purpose of Sri Advaita Prabhu. Because in this world we are all completely mesmerized by the forgetfulness of Krishna due to attraction for the things of this world, which are supervised by Madana or Kamadev. But Krishna is so attractive, he's so beautiful, he's so merciful. He's Madan Mohan. He even bewilders the heart of he who bewilders everyone's hearts. So if Krishna bewilders the heart of Madana, of the superintendent of Maya, then how much he can bewilder our little hearts if we simply associate with him. So Advaita Prabhu worshipped Madan Mohan in revealing him to this world. And later that deity was given to one of his disciples who was living in Mahaban. And later it was revealed, he was revealed to Srila Sanatan Goswami, who had the Madan Mohan temple built as the first temple of Vrindavan. After performing his loving pastimes in Sri Vrindavan Dham, he was traveling back toward Bengal. He went to Mithila, and according to our biographers, he met the great Vaishnav poet Vidyapati. And there they had wonderful discussions and beautiful pastimes together. And he settled in Shantipur. While in Shantipur, he was feeling such deep compassion for the people suffering in this world. At the time, he saw so much suffering. But he's Trikalagya. He could see into the future. He could see all the sufferings that each and every one of us are going through in our day-to-day lives. He's seeing the conflicts and the wars. He's seeing the greed and the envy. He's seeing all the fear that pervades this world. And he is the incarnation of a bhakta, a devotee. And what is the nature of a devotee? Tatekshiva Karuna Kasurada Sarvadehina Majata Satravasanda Sarva Sadhu Bhushanam. A devotee is a friend to everyone. Paradukaduki. A true devotee takes the will of the Lord as his or her life and soul. And it is the will of the Lord to descend into this world again and again and again out of his deep, eternal love for every living being. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Junatishti. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. Such love, such a friend, he never leaves us. The Upanishads describe like two birds in the same tree, the Jivatma and the Paramatma. While the little Jiva bird, which is our soul, is so busy trying to enjoy the fruits of materialistic life and becoming so overwhelmed with envy and anger and selfishness and greed and illusion, and sometimes we become pious, but then that gets all mixed up with the other lower modes of nature. But the Paramatma is always seated right beside us in our heart of hearts, just waiting for us to turn to him. Yayatamam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaham. And according to how we turn to him, take shelter of him, Krishna is willing to give himself completely to us. That is his nature. So Advaita has come not just to teach us, because it's his duty. Aham bija pratapita. He's the Supreme Father and Supreme Mother of all living beings. Now a good mother and father, if the child is lost and suffering, the parents don't just, give some direction. They feel from the core of their heart because they have unconditional love. And that unconditional love, its very source, its very origin, is God's love. So Advaita Prabhu, who was personifying God's love, was feeling such deep sympathy for everyone. And he saw even in the name of religion there was so much quarrel among ourselves and so much hypocrisy and so much misdirection. So he began to teach. In Shantipur he developed a school where he was personally teaching Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And please, try to study this idea within your hearts at this moment. What was his mood of being a teacher or a preacher? It wasn't just to conquer people, to prove I'm better than you. It was because of his deep love, feeling our pains. That was the mood in which he was teaching Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Trying to rise people above the limitations of fruitive activities. Just trying to be an enjoyer within this world. He was teaching a science that could take us above even the desire for being great controllers with powers. He was teaching a path in which even salvation and liberation is not considered important. He was teaching that the crescendo of all spiritual experience is pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, ecstatic love for God and compassion for all beings. He was teaching Srimad Bhagavatam, which is built on the foundation of Savai Pong Sang Puro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshaje. That the supreme dharma is that which brings us to the awakening of unconditional, unmotivated love for Krishna. And love is expressed through devotional service, through bhakti. And in this world, the highest and the greatest form of bhakti is to show compassion for all beings. So while he was teaching Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita with great enthusiasm, with a real sense of urgency, and as I'm speaking about this, I'm thinking of our beloved founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. When he was sitting at Radha Damodar Temple, translating and writing purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he took those Srimad Bhagavatams to the Jaladuta and sailed 38 days across oceans and continents, and then traveled around the world about 12 times with that same compassion, with that same love, he was giving us Krishna. That is the true understanding of parampara. Parampara is not just a line of names that we connect to so that we're authorized. Parampara is this spirit of surrender. And that surrender is expressed through the will of the Lord. Compassion. So it was that time while he was teaching in Shantipuram along with his good wife Sita Thakurani that Madhavendra Puri, who was traveling from holy place to holy place, he especially came to Shantipur to meet with Sri Advaita Prabhu. Because he had heard about him and he knew about him. And the nature of true devotees, they love to be with other devotees. This is a very important feature of Sri Advaita Prabhu's life. He's teaching us how to be a devotee, and one of the primary examples he gives us is how much he loves to be with devotees. When Madhavendra Puri came to Shantipur, Madhavendra Puri was seeing Advaita as his worshipable Lord, and Advaita was seeing Madhavendra Puri as his worshipable Lord. And seeing the profound ecstatic love of Madhavendra Puri, Advaitacharya accepted initiation from him, became a disciple of Sripad Madhavendra Puri, and the most loving friend. Throughout the day, throughout the night, they just discussed Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's mercy, and chanted Krishna's names. When Madhavendra Puri departed, Advaitacharya installed him as his spiritual master within his heart. And soon after that, a most important feature of Advaitacharya's life that's so deeply important for us to understand took place. Would you like to hear? You'll have to wait a few minutes because I have something to do. But I'll be back, but please do not go away because the class is just about to start.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Sri Advaita Prabhu is now the duly initiated surrendered disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri, living in Shantipur along with Sita Thakurani. He became the leader of the entire Brahmin community in Shantipur. He was considered the most learned, the most cultured, the most advanced, and by far the most respected of anybody in that entire region. And in those days, we're speaking well over 500 years ago, the idea of caste by birth was quite strong, especially among Brahmins, because Brahmins were, especially in that Shantipur region, very learned and very orthodox. It was then that someone came to visit Advaita Prabhu, Srila Haridas Thakur. Interestingly, Thakur Haridas was, according to the caste system, untouchable. He was born in what was considered a Malecha and Yavana family. The religion of his parents was Muslim, and the culture in which he was brought up, people considered him an untouchable. But yet he had such deep devotion, such profound faith in the chanting of the holy names. And we find in the life of Haridas Thakur, wherever he went, he was persecuted, he was ridiculed, he was condemned, and he was misunderstood. When he was living in Benapole, which is in East Bengal, Ramchandra Khan, he tried to destroy him. Haridas was just living in a forest, chanting Krishna's names 300,000 times minimum every day. He had no envy toward anyone. He was everyone's well-wisher. He was willing to give his life to help anyone in any way. And because he was like that, people respected him. And this was intolerable for Ramchandra Khan. They're giving more respect to him than me. So we all know the story, how he sent someone to destroy Haridas's reputation, to seduce him with the idea of imprisoning him. But in the end, that prostitute who came, she became Haridas's disciple, shaved her head, worshipped Tulsi, and took his cottage and chanted 300,000 names of Krishna every day. And now Haridas is more famous and popular than ever. And what did he do? He left. Usually when you become really popular somewhere, you like to be there. He left. He didn't want to create a disturbance. And wherever he would go, the same things would happen. He went to Chandpur, which was the place of Govardhan and Hiranya, who were the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. He was invited by Balaramacharya and Yadunandan Acharya, the gurus of the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami. And there he was chanting Krishna's names with such humility. Trinadapi sunichena tador ivasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Thakur Haridas, because he personified this verse of being more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant, forgiving, and kind than a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, because he personified this, Kirtaniya Sadahari, he could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Have any of you ever chanted 300,000 names of Krishna in a day? He did it every day without fail. His whole life. And he still had so much time. He had so much time. He was making thousands of people devotees of Krishna. Going, you know, to riversides and going into the forests to meet people and going into towns and villages. And he was, wherever he would go, people would be attracted. And he knew the scripture so well. He could cite the Vedic literatures and extract the essence of bhakti. He was a scholar in this way. So sometimes we think, I don't have time to chant 16 rounds because I have so much to do. We all have thought that way. But Haridas Thakur, he did millions of times more than any of us as far as valuable activities. And yet he always had time to chant 300,000 names, which is 192 rounds every day. Somehow or other, he did everything else and he still had time. How is that possible? It's not possible. We cannot imitate. We could follow in his footsteps. And how do we follow in his footsteps? Srila Prabhupada told us. He fixed 192 rounds that he would do every day. We could follow in his footsteps by doing at least 16 rounds. Somehow or other making time for that, and that will empower us. It will infuse bhakti into us in all of our other activities. But as the Nam Acharya, there's the Advaita Acharya and there's Nam Acharya. The Acharya who's one with God teaching us devotion, and the Acharya who's teaching us how to live a life in which we can develop a taste for chanting the holy names. So in Chandpur, he was describing scriptures, and even there he was being criticized and condemned. But while he was there, the son of Govardhan Majumdar, whose name was Raghunath, he was just a really tiny little boy. Just by being in the presence of Haridas Thakur, he became so attracted. Raghunath was the sole heir and only son within the entire family of the uncles and the father. They had a huge estate. They were billionaires by our standards. Fabulously wealthy. And they provided Raghunath because they saw that he was, when he came in contact with Haridas Thakur, who only wore a loincloth and lived in caves, Raghunath was thinking in his heart, this is what I want. He has luxuries, fine foods, fine clothes, prestige, fame, everything. Everything and more than we could ever aspire for materially in our life. He had it all. It was all around him. But here he sees Haridas. Sometimes he's living in caves with poisonous snakes. And Raghunath is thinking, this is what I want. It's not that he wanted to just live in a cave. He wanted Krishna prema. He wanted ecstatic love for Krishna. Nothing could compare to that as far as wealth, prema dan, treasure. He didn't spend a lot of time with Haridas, because Haridas was only there for a very short time. But just by being in his presence, something so deep transformed in Raghunath's heart. That's what he wanted. To follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. And because there were difficulties there, Haridas left, and he ultimately went to Phuliagram. And while he was in Phuliagram, he was living in another cave on the bank of the Ganges, and people, they started to love him, and the more people that loved him, the more people hated him. The world is like that. Because so many people loved him because he was such an example of compassion. He had people of all different religions, of all different castes, of all different races, chanting Krishna's name and becoming lovers of Krishna. And this was intolerable to some Brahmins and intolerable to some Qazis. So he was arrested. He was put in prison. He was beaten 22 marketplaces with the intent to kill him. He was tortured. And that all happened at Phulia. And ultimately, you know the story. He was thrown in the river, considered dead. And he came back to consciousness and went back to forgive everyone. That's Haridas. Advaitacharya, who was living close to Phulia, Shantipur, when he met Haridas Thakur, they became the most intimate, loving brothers and friends. Now, Sri Advaita Prabhu He was 52 years older than Lord Chaitanya. And he was 17 years older than Haridas Thakur.
So he is a very senior person.
He would invite Haridas to his home every day to take prasad. He would serve Haridas prasad. And Advaita would take his remnants secretly. And they would talk about Krishna throughout the day, and they would chant throughout the day. And in those days in Bengal, the Shraddha ceremony was considered a very, very important part of one's life. It was a highlight of a year. And in the Shraddha ceremony, the tradition was you offer bhoga to Krishna, you offer that prasad to your forefathers and mothers, and you offer it to all the Brahmins who are present. But the actual plate of Mahaprasad is given to the foremost respected of all the Brahmins. So Advaitacharya is the leader, the king of all the Brahmin community, in the sense that everybody respected him. So when Advaitacharya is going to do Shraddhapatra, you know two things. There's going to be the best prasad. And second is you know that every esteemed Brahmin in that whole area is going to be there. It's the place to be. It's like I'm seeing here in Mumbai, the Vasant Panchami time, so many marriages. And I talk to some of our devotees, and they're going to one marriage, and then they have to go to another marriage, and then they have to go to another marriage, and I'm going to another marriage. And from like noon until, you know, after midnight, going to marriages. And engagements and so many things. Why? Because, you know, these are important people. We have to make the scene. Yes? You know, sometimes we go there to give blessings and everything, but other times what I observe is people go there because they have to make the scene. Because if you go for this, there's something, great benefit. So here's the event of the year. Advaitacharya's Shraddha. All the Brahmins are going to come for that. That's where they get they have to go to that for their prestige and for their, you know, to really be accepted within the community. And Advaita, he stunned everyone, especially Haridas Thakur. Because he took the Mahaprasad from the altar and in front of everyone, ceremoniously, he presented it to Haridas Thakur. He's not a Brahmin. He's an untouchable by caste. That was Advaitacharya. This is before Lord Chaitanya even appeared. He was personally smashing, crushing into fine powder the misconception of caste by birth. Chaturvarna mayastristam guna karma vibhagasha. He was accepting a person on the basis of their character, their devotion, and their qualities. And Haridas Thakur became shocked. He said, because Haridas Thakur did not propose himself or consider himself advanced at all. He was just the servant of the servant of the servant. He said, Advaita, what are you doing? There's so many qualified Brahmins and you're publicly giving to me. I don't deserve this. And the most important thing is Advaitacharya's reply. he said to Haridas Thakur, because of your devotion to Krishna, your attachment to chanting Krishna's names, because of your compassion to all living beings, by giving you this prasad, I am simultaneously feeding 10 million of the most qualified Brahmins. What could Haridas Thakur do except eat the prasad? to please Advaitacharya. But he's an acharya. Such an example he's giving. And they became such dear friends and brothers in Krishna's service. They both shared the same compassion for the fallen souls. And they decided between themselves, Advaita Prabhu and Thakur Haridas, that mere incarnations cannot give Krishna prema in this age of Kali. They were seeing around them what was going on, and they were looking into the future. Here is Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, and Brahma having a discussion with each other. What to do with the people of this age of Kali? Only Krishna himself, in the mood of Sri Radha, can give the pure devotion that is required in this age of Kali. To give this highest gift to the least qualified. So Haridas Thakur, with the prayer of Krishna descending into this world for you and me, he was constantly in his cave on the bank of the river Ganges chanting the holy names. And Sri Advaita Prabhu, from the Gautamiya Tantra, while he was praying and praying and praying and crying out Krishna's names, he heard this verse that Krishna will fulfill the desire of a devotee who offers with love and devotion tulsi leaves, tulsi munjaris, and the water of the Ganges to Lord Krishna. So he would spend his days offering Ganga water and tulsi munjaris, leaves, with the loud calling for Krishna to come to this world. When I speak about being loud, it wasn't just in volume like our sound systems. It was the loudness of the compassion and the love of his heart. His infinite love for Krishna was inseparable from his infinite compassion to Krishna's children. That's love. He was calling out with limitless tears for Krishna to appear, offering Ganges water and tulsi. Let us study this briefly. He's Mahavishnu. He's Shiva, the original form of Shiva. Now, the source of the river Ganges is Mahavishnu. The water of the causal ocean, which is emanating from the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Vamana took his second step in the from the arena of Bali Maharaj, he pierced the covering of the universe, and that water from the causal ocean, the water that was coming from the very body of Vishnu, entered into this universe. So first, it's coming from the body of Vishnu. Second, it's washing the lotus feet of Vishnu. and then it's coming, and then it's gathered as the holiest, the most sacred of all substances, of all blessings in all the heavenly planets, the planets of the rishis, Satyaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka. These are not just heavenly abodes. These are abodes of the greatest rishis and yogis. And then it comes down to the heavenly worlds of Swargaloka. And the great king Bhagirath, he wanted to deliver his forefathers and deliver the world. But how to do so? He was told that only if the river Ganges flows and touches the ashes of his forefathers will they be delivered. So he performed tapasya at Gangotri, Bhagirath, for 60,000 years. Sitting on a rock. The rock's still there. Some of us sat on that rock. How many of you, raise your hands, have sat on that rock at Gangotri? Please raise your hands. Well, maybe not. Maybe some of us didn't sit on there. Anyways, we had a yatra there, so if you remember or not, you did sit on that rock. Mother Ganga appeared to him. After all these years of fasting and tapasya and devotion, and she said, I can't come to the world because my current is so powerful, it will make the whole earth planet imbalanced. And besides, that's my nature, as I take the sins of whoever bathes in me, and I'll be filled with sins because this earth planet is full of sinful people. But then he gave her his realization that if one pure devotee of the Lord bathes in you, then it will neutralize the sins of everyone else. And she said, that is correct. And the only person who could control my current is Lord Shiva. So then he had to do all this tapasya for Lord Shiva. And he appeared to him. And Lord Shiva accepted. And when the river Ganges came, Lord Shiva, knowing that this is the foot wash of Vishnu, he accepted it on top of his head. And he regulated the flow. So we have all seen so many deities and paintings of Lord Shiva where the Ganga is coming out of his hairs, his matted hairs. This is the most special feature of Shiva. Because the river Ganges is coming to this world to purify people. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he glorified the river Ganges by saying, Mother Ganga is so pure, anyone who bathes in her, who drinks her water, who touches her, who sees her, who's even touched by the breeze that has come from her, will get purified and love for Krishna will awaken little by little in their hearts. That is the power of Mother Ganga. So Lord Shiva, out of his great mercy, he has brought the Ganga to this earth planet today. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes, why is Lord Shiva Vaishnavam Yathashambhu? Because of his compassion. The greatest service one can do for pleasing the Lord is to accept difficulties for the well-being of others. That is specifically spoken by Shukadev Goswami. And Lord Shiva personified that. When there was poison circulating throughout the universe, He drank all that poison for our benefit. He became Nilakanta. His throat turned black. And Srila Prabhupada explains that apparent disfigure of a black line in his throat due to drinking poison is his most beautiful ornament, because it's a symptom of his willingness to endure difficulties to show love and compassion to others. So it's in that spirit of supreme compassion that Lord Shiva brings the Ganges to this world. And Lord Shiva knows past, present, and future. Here we find in Shantipur, Advaita is taking that same Ganges that in his previous incarnation of Mahavishnu he created. In his previous incarnation of Vamanadeva, he had it wash his feet and get totally blessed with purification. In his previous incarnation as Shiva, he brought it to the world to purify all living beings. And now Advaita, who is Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, is taking palmfuls of that Ganges water, and with tears pouring from his eyes, he's praying, Krishna, please come. Deliver these souls. The combination of Lord Advaita's loving, tearful prayers and Haridas Thakur's loving, tearful recitation of the holy names brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear in this world. And it's described when Advaita Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, during the Gaur Purnima, during the lunar eclipse, on the full moon night of Palgun, at the moment that Lord Chaitanya appeared, there was such auspiciousness everywhere, and everyone was chanting God's names, the names of Hari Hari. Haridas and Advaita, they could feel the Lord has come in their hearts, and they danced together in ecstasy, loudly chanting the holy name. Advaitacharya sent Sita Thakurani to come and worship the little baby Gaurhari. When she saw little infant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she immediately identified, he's Krishna, Gopal, who has now appeared with a beautiful, resplendent, golden complexion, the very complexion of Sri Radharani. And he was given so many names, Gauranga, Gaurhari, Sachinandan, Vishwambar. But then Lord Chaitanya, by his own inconceivable arrangement, he covered all of his devotees from recognizing who he really was. This was his lila. Everyone loved Nimai just the way they love Krishna and even more. But they could not recognize who he was. They just loved him. I think I should end very soon, but I'll just tell a couple stories. Advaita had a house in Navadvipa as well as Shantipur. So he came to Navadvipa just to be closer to the community of devotees there. There was Srivas and his brothers. And there were so many other great souls who were living in Navadvipa, Murari Gupta. And they would have kirtans. And they would love to see the pastimes of Nimai, although they weren't recognizing him. Nimai's elder brother, Vishwarup, he was so attracted to the association of Advaita Prabhu. Even when he was young, he would love to go to Advaita Prabhu's home in Navadvipa, where all the devotees would gather to discuss the teachings and pastimes of Krishna, especially from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vishwarup was so attracted, and he had so much devotion. Even though he was a young boy, and Advaita Prabhu was older than his grandfather, and all the other devotees were like his father's age, some were a little younger, they just loved him. And one time Advaita Prabhu was worshipping his deity, Madan Gopal, in his house in Navadvipa, and Vishwarup was reciting some scripture with such feeling that Advaita, he stopped worshipping the deity and embraced Vishwarup. "You're so sincere and so filled with devotion." He became the heart and soul of all the devotees. And Vishwarup would hardly come home. He would just be with Advaita. And Sachimata would send little Nimai, who was a small boy, "Please bring Vishwarup home. It's time for lunch prasad." And as they're all discussing Krishna, absorbed in chanting Krishna's names, little Nimai came to the house and took Vishwarup and pulled his dhoti and said, "Mata's calling you for lunch prasad." And everyone saw little Nimai. He was such a small boy. And he smiled at them. They were so captivated that they forgot about talking about Krishna. Can you imagine this? They had such a taste for talking about Krishna, but when they saw Nimai, they forgot about even talking about Krishna. They were just totally enraptured in seeing this little boy smile. Their eyes were unable to even blink. They were mesmerized. And then Nimai took him away, took Vishwarup away, and they ran home. And Advaita, the same love they had for Krishna, but they couldn't recognize he was Krishna by Krishna's will. Jagannath Misha Sachi Devi, at a certain time, they felt, it's time for Vishwarup to get married. Because he's so completely engrossed in just studying scriptures, we have to give him some occupational ashram by which, you know, he'll remain with us. And when Vishwarup learned that preparations were being made, in the middle of the night, one night, he just left. Didn't say anything to anyone. There was not even an indication. What did he do? He went off and took sannyas as a young boy. He became known as Shankararanya. And he never came home again. There was never an indication of correspondence. At that time, Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were totally brokenhearted. The only thing that kept them alive was Nimai. Nimai, he was himself missing his brother so much, but he would say that, "I'm still with you." And that was the only reason for them to continue living, was to take care of Nimai. And when Advaita and the devotees learned that Vishwarupa had left forever, they were weeping and crying in separation. But Advaita Prabhu, he said to the devotees, "Even though this is breaking our hearts, we should be happy. Because Krishna is about to reveal himself to us." And everybody had faith in those words. It was at that time that Jagannath Mishra stopped Nimai from studying. Because your brother, he studied so much and understood so closely how we're not this body, we're the eternal souls, and love for Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. And look what he did. So stop your studies and learn how to be a nice son. And he was the best son. That's a long story, but it's a beautiful story. But we don't have time. Jagannath Mishra had a dream. He woke up from the dream crying. And Sachi Mata asked, "What happened?" And he explained that, "I saw our son, Nimai. He had a shaved head. He was wearing saffron robes. He was a sannyasi. And there were tens and hundreds of thousands of people all following behind him, loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna."
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
"I think our son is going to leave us like Vishwarupa." And Sachi Devi said, no, he's so engrossed in his studies, there's no problem." But soon after that dream, Jagannath Mishra, with Lord Chaitanya, with Nimai right at his side, praying for him and crying for him, Jagannath Mishra left this world. Now Sachi Mata is a widow. And she arranged Nimai to marry Lakshmi Priya. Not long after that, Ishwara Puri, one of the prominent disciples of Madhavendra Puri, an exalted godbrother of Advaitacharya, he came to Navadvip. He was famous, but nobody had seen him before. He was actually the personal assistant of Madhavendra Puri, who was given the highest blessings of Madhavendra Puri for his menial humble service. Ishwara Puri, although so exalted, never wanted to be recognized or honored. He just appeared to be the most regular, ordinary, typical person. So he came to Navadvip, and he went to the house of Advaitacharya in Navadvip, and Advaita was doing his puja, and he was just sitting there, just watching, enjoying. And he just looked like a kind of a very, what's the word, kind of like a raggedy beggar. He just looked like a typical beggar, the way he was dressed. I'm just sitting there. But Advaitacharya, nobody else could recognize. He was thinking, "This person is special. There's something about him." So Advaita asked Mukunda Dutt to sing a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam glorifying Krishna. And when he did, Ishwara Puri, uncontrollably, his ecstatic love was manifested.
And then Advaita and everybody recognized, this is the great Ishwarapuri.
And Gadadhar Pandit began to learn from him. And even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to meet him every day. Soon after, Ishwarapuri departed. And Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya to perform the last rites for his father. And it was there that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwarapuri. And it was at that time that he manifested his mission. Haradha Bhavaduti Subalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the love of Sri Radha in his heart, who's come to distribute that love, that kindness to the world. When Lord Chaitanya came back from Gaya, he was in a state of Radha Bhav, of great love. And all the devotees were talking amongst themselves, Nimai has become a devotee. He always appeared to just be a great scholar, pundit. And we've been praying for years that he would become a devotee. He has become a devotee. He's returned from Gaya. We've never seen such ecstatic love for Krishna as personified by Nimai Pandit. And when Advaita heard the news of this, what do you think he did? He left Navadvipa. He went back to his home, to Shantipur, because he wanted to test Nimai. So now Nimai is starting the Sankirtan movement. And all these great devotees are coming to assemble. Nityananda Prabhu has come. Srivas, he's revealed himself to Srivas Thakur. And to Ramai Pandit, the brother of Srivas, Lord Chaitanya said, go to Shantipur and tell Advaita that the person he was crying for, the person he was praying for, the person he was giving his heart and soul for, is here. Tell him to come, I'm here. So when Ramai Pandit went to Shantipur and told Advaita that, he fainted in ecstatic love. And he told Sita Thakurani, let's bring all puja paraphernalia to worship the Lord. But then on his way he decided to test him again. Why was Advaita testing Lord Chaitanya? Something we'll never truly understand. It was his lila. But also, he wanted to certify beyond all doubts for the whole the world, for all history, who his beloved Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu truly was. So Advaita went to the house of Nandanacharya, along with his good wife Sita, and they were hiding. Lord Chaitanya told Ramai Pandit, go to Nandanacharya's house. And bring Advaita here. Tell him I know exactly where he is and I'm waiting for him. I've come only for him. I've come only for you, Advaita. Give him that message. And Advaitacharya came and he worshipped. He offered beautiful puja to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time. And offered a beautiful prayer. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagadhyataya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. And at that time, the Sankirtan movement was truly established in the world. Haridas Thakur was there with Advaita. Nityananda Prabhu had come from Ekachakra and from a whole 12 years of traveling on pilgrimage. He had come from Vrindavan. Pundarik Vidyanidhi had come from Chattagram. Murari Gupta, Srivasan, his brothers, all these devotees were assembled. Gadadhar, who was Lord Chaitanya's childhood lifelong friend. And they would perform kirtan at Srivasa's home. Because Sri Advaita Prabhu was a very senior disciple of Lord Chaitanya's Param Guru, Madhavendra Puri, a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's Guru, Lord Chaitanya worshipped him. He would never accept worship from him. Lord Chaitanya was teaching. The type of esteem, respect, and honor that one should give to the God brothers, God sisters of one's spiritual master. But Advaita wanted to just be an insignificant, menial servant of the servant of servant of Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya would take dust from his lotus feet, and Advaita was so old. Now Lord Chaitanya is about 20 years old, so Advaita is like in his late 70s. Lord Chaitanya had long arms, so he would take dust from Advaita's feet, and Advaita could never get dust from Lord Chaitanya's feet. So Advaita was thinking, Lord Chaitanya will truly accept me as his servant when he punishes me. But how could I get Lord Chaitanya to punish me? He honors me, he worships me, he loves me. He tried everything. One day when Lord Chaitanya was unconscious, Advaita Acharya took dust from his lotus feet, and Lord Chaitanya became so disturbed knowing that that had happened. Lord Advaita secretly took dust from his lotus feet. Then Lord Chaitanya jumped in the Ganges to end his life. And Advaita was crying, please come back. I'm sorry. So how to get Lord Chaitanya to actually consciously punish him? Advaita knew the heart of the Lord. He was coming to teach pure, unalloyed devotional service to the personality of Godhead. So Advaita took Haridas Thakur and said, let's go back to Shantipur. I have a plan. And he started preaching the Mayavad conception that you're not the eternal servant of God. Ultimately, you are God. And ultimately, God has no form and has no personality. It has no lila. The leelas of the Lord, the form of the Lord, the personality of the Lord is all within this material realm to attract our hearts. But when we actually become pure and liberated, then we enter into the state of impersonal Brahman. And he was preaching. He didn't believe it. But he was preaching with such conviction externally. And he was speaking so philosophically and so enthusiastically that he was getting a larger and larger following. And the news came to Navadvip what was happening. Lord Chaitanya, what? Advaita's preaching like this? Impossible. But he was getting more and more news that this was true. And he told Nityananda Prabhu, let's go. This was like an emergency mission. Lord Chaitanya jumped in the Ganges with Nityananda Prabhu and swam to Shantipur. And they came out of the Ganges soaking wet with water, and Advaita's house was right in the bank of the Ganges, and Advaita had it all arranged. There was a large following of his students, and he was speaking this Advaita philosophy. A when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he started to speak with even more enthusiasm and an even louder voice. That the leelas of the Lord are an illusion. The names of the Lord are an illusion. The pastimes of the Lord are an illusion. Lord Chaitanya looks at Lord Nityananda. Do you hear what he's saying? Lord Chaitanya's eyes start glowing red with anger. And when Advaita saw this from a distance, with even louder voice and more enthusiasm, he was preaching this message. Lord Chaitanya ran up to him, took him off of his seat, and started slapping him in ecstasy. He cried out, "Nara, Advaita, I came to this world only because of you. What are you doing? Why? I was peacefully sleeping on the ocean of the causal ocean, and I heard your loud calls, and I felt your tears and your compassion to everyone to teach pure devotional service, prema bhakti, in this world. And I came to this world to teach pure devotional service only because of you. And now that I'm here, you're preaching just the opposite. What are you doing? Who are you?" And Sita Thakurani was crying out, "He's an old man, don't do this to him." And Haridas Thakur knew exactly what was going on, and he was secretly in a corner just laughing. And Advaitacharya was so happy getting slapped by the Lord, getting chastised by the Lord, he began to cry in ecstasy and dance in such jubilation. And he was calling out, "Where are your kind, worshipable words to me now, my Lord? Now you have punished me. Today you have accepted me as your servant. The ultimate fulfillment of all my prayers and wishes I have achieved today." And then Lord Chaitanya understood this was all a trick. And he became embarrassed. And he started apologizing. He started again worshiping and honoring Advaitacharya. But Advaitacharya said, it's too late. You have punished me. You have put it on the record forever that I'm your servant." Lord Chaitanya said, "You have tricked me." This was their love. One time, when Lord Chaitanya was bestowing his mercy and showing his original form of Krishna to all the devotees, Srivas and the other devotees said, "You're giving your mercy to everyone except your own mother, Sachi Devi. Why don't you show your form and give your mercy to her?" And Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach a lesson to the world. He said, "No, I cannot, because she has committed an offense to Advaitacharya." That message was given to Sachi Devi. And she remembered what that offense was. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells in much detail what happened. We have heard briefly the story of how Vishwarup, after associating with Advaita Prabhu for so long, he took sannyas. Now Lord Nimai, when he was young, now he's established a Sankirtan movement, he was so much immersed along with the Advaita and the devotees and hearing and chanting about Krishna and staying up all night doing kirtan at Srivas's house. And Advaita was the leader of the whole Vaishnav community. He was hardly at home. So Sachi Devi was fearing that Advaita has taken my moonlight beloved son, who is my heart and soul, Vishwarupa, away. And now he's taking my other son away, Nimai. Why is he so unkind? I'm a widow. I've lost my eldest son. I've lost my husband. I have nothing except Nimai in my life. And now Advaita's taking him away. She didn't even say anything to anyone. She was just thinking in this way. And just to herself, she said, everyone calls him Advaita. But I say he's Advaita. He's duplicitous. What is he doing to my life? That was her offense. She was just thinking that way about the great devotee Advaita. So she understood exactly what Lord Chaitanya was speaking when he wouldn't give her mercy. So someone told Advaita, this is the love of devotees. Someone told Advaita Prabhu that Lord Chaitanya will not give Sachi Devi his blessing, will not show his transcendental form until Sachi Mata removes her offense to you. As soon as Advaita Charya heard the name of Sachi Devi, he went into ecstasy. She's the mother of the universe. Sachi Devi is supremely worshipable. The absolute truth, who I prayed for with all my heart and soul, descended into this world by taking shelter of her womb from his infancy. She loved and cared for my beloved Lord. She's everybody's mother. If she's Krishna's mother, she's everybody's mother, because Krishna's the source of everything. He went into such an ecstasy, remembering Sachi Mata's pure, ecstatic, motherly love, that he was howling her glories, weeping and crying, and ultimately his respect for her reached such a crescendo that he fell to the ground unconscious. And while he was in that state, Sachi Mata ran and put her head on his lotus feet. And at that point, Lord Chaitanya was watching it all. He said, Sachi Mata, come. Now I will show you all my opulences. And seeing Sachi Mata receive those blessings, all the devotees in great ecstasy danced and chanted the holy name. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj in Katwa, along with Nityananda Prabhu and a few associates, they were on their way to Vrindavan. But it was at that time that Lord Chaitanya was tricked by Nityananda Prabhu to go just across the river Ganges to Shantipur. He was told by some cowherd boys, Nityananda's trick, that this is the Yamuna and Vrindavan, but actually it was the Ganga and it was Shantipur. And he sent a message to Advaita, and Advaita was there to receive him, and took
Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu back to his home in Shantipur. And there was such a great festival. Sachi Mata came, and how Advaita Prabhu, how it is described there, the unparalleled ways that Advaita Prabhu offered hospitality to each and every devotee. They were having Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan throughout the day and throughout the night. And it was there in Shantipur. I'm going to end with this. There's actually so much more that I really would like to say, but I don't have time. I have some other events today. But this is special. Because it was there in Shantipur that Raghunath Das Goswami his father and uncle were very great devotees of Sri Advaita Prabhu. With their wealth, they were facilitating so much of Sri Advaita Prabhu's outreach activities and doing such incredible service to the Vaishnavas. So when their son, Raghunath, came to Shantipur to meet Lord Chaitanya, it was very difficult because there were so many devotees. But Advaita had such deep affection for Raghunath. He would directly the plate that Lord Chaitanya took prasad from that was cooked by Sachi Mata. He would give that prasad to Raghunath Das Goswami. And he personally brought Raghunath Das Goswami in to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Arranged the interview personally. And it was there that Raghunath Das Goswami completely surrendered his body, his mind, his words, and his life to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our Prayojana Acharya. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami came to Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged for them especially to receive the blessings and the grace of Advaita Prabhu, the very leader of the Vaishnav community. Every year, after Lord Chaitanya returned from his South Indian tour, every year Advaita, without fail, whatever Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, especially the last 18 years of his leelas, Advaita would come and spend 4 months in Puri with Lord Chaitanya. And one time, Lord Chaitanya was invited by Advaita Acharya for lunch at his house. Sita Thakurani and Advaita were cooking together. And as they were cooking with so much love and so much devotion, when Advaita invited Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, "Of course I will come. If you are cooking, Advaita, along with your wife Sita, so much love and devotion, and you offer that food to Krishna, Krishna is going to be so happy. I want to be there for that." He wasn't coming to eat. He was coming to witness the love between Advaita, Sita, and Krishna. And to take that Mahaprasad. So as they were cooking together, Advaita Prabhu and Sita Thakurani, Advaita was speaking. He said, "Lord Chaitanya, whenever he comes anywhere for lunch, he always brings at least 20 sannyasis and senior devotees with him. He never comes alone. It's not going to be an intimate experience. I want to give..." You know, he's offering all respects to others, and he's expecting us to offer all respects to others, but I want, on this day, I want to intimately, personally, exclusively offer this food that we've cooked to Lord Chaitanya, and not only that, but when there's all those sannyasis and all those senior devotees, they get so much of his remnants. I want us to have those remnants today. So he was saying like this, and he was very happily saying it. And Sita Thakurani was just listening in great joy. Lord Chaitanya, when it came noontime, he took his bath in the sea from the Gambira. It was time to go to the place Advaitacharya was staying to have lunch prasad. And all the sannyasis and all the senior devotees who were with him, they were all coming from directions to meet him at Advaita's. Now this is not the rainy season. It's the time of the year. It never rains in Puri. But suddenly, torrents of rain were pouring and pouring and pouring, and it became cold, and there were hailstorms and winds, and nobody could move. Nobody in Puri could go outdoors. It was too much. So all the very senior sannyasis and other people who were meant to go with Lord Chaitanya, they all had to stay wherever they were. They couldn't move. It was such a downpour. But at Advaita's house, there was no rain. And the Gambira, there was no rain. And the path from the Gambira to Advaita's house, there was no rain. So Lord Chaitanya comfortably went. And when he came there, he came all alone. All the others were yearning and longing to come, but they couldn't leave. And Advaita was so happy. He washed Lord Chaitanya's feet, and he gave him a nice seat, and he started offering him these incredible preparations of Mahaprasad that were... And Lord Chaitanya was enjoying it immensely, the love of Advaita and Sita. And Advaita was so happy, he was bringing him more and more and more. And Lord Chaitanya was eating more and more and more just to make Advaita happy. And then Advaita, in ecstasy, he couldn't even control himself. He began to offer a beautiful prayer that was spoken by Indra to Krishna after the Govardhan Puja Leela, where Indra's saying, "You are the Lord of my life. You have purchased me. I am yours." Lord Chaitanya, he stops eating. He says, "Advaita, why are you offering prayers from Indra?" And Advaita said, "You just continue eating. Nothing to discuss in this matter. You just keep eating more." And he kept giving him more and more and more. "And why are you saying..." "I know why you're saying this, Lord Chaitanya. I know why you are citing the prayers of Indra. It was your will that Indra sent this rain." "Even Brahma and Shiva and Yamaraj hold your orders on their head. You are the Supreme Lord. Whatever you desire, you have manifested this entire cosmic manifestation. Indra is your eternal servant. If you desire for Indra to make it rain, then it's because of you it rained. And now I know everything. It's clear. You made it rain like this just so that no one would come here with me, so I would be all alone with you." And Advaita was clapping his hands and saying, in this way they were glorifying each other. That was their leela. But Lord Chaitanya would never, ever, ever, except on very rare occasions to his most intimate devotees, would he ever be recognized or called on upon as Krishna.
He was Krishna who came to teach how to be a devotee. And one of the principal ways of being a devotee is never declaring or considering oneself to be God. To always be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And that was always Lord Chaitanya's mood, except on very, very special occasions. And that was very intimate with the most close circle of the devotees. Shiva Sangam. But one day in Puri, in the streets, in the presence of the public, Advaita Prabhu said to the devotees, he was really ecstatic that day. He said, "Today we will sing only the names of Lord Gauranga." Because there are so many incarnations of the Lord and Krishna, who's the source of incarnations, and we're always chanting their names, but it's Lord Gauranga, who is Lord Narayan. It's he that has attracted our hearts. It's he that has bestowed the supreme mercy of love upon us. It's he that has empowered us to do whatever we're doing. On this particular day, I declare we will not chant any other name except Lord Chaitanya in our public kirtan. And then he began to sing Gaur Narayan, Gaur Krishna, the son of Mother Krishna, who has personally appeared with all of his opulences as the son of Sachi Devi. And he was dancing. Now the devotees were very much afraid. Lord Chaitanya will be very upset if he hears us chanting publicly his name as God. But Advaita was so enthusiastic. He was smiling, he was laughing, he was crying, he was dancing, chanting Lord Chaitanya's name, and it was so contagious that all the devotees began to chant, Gaur Narayan, Gaur Krishna, Sachinandan Mahaprabhu, is Krishna Vrindavan, who has descended on this earth to spread prema bhakti through Harinam Sankirtan. And the crowd was growing larger and larger, and Lord Chaitanya's names was chanted louder and louder, and Lord Chaitanya was in his room in Gambira, and he heard this incredible, tumultuous kirtan going on, and he wanted to join the kirtan. So he came there. And when he came, the devotees became very afraid. But when they saw Advaita, when Advaita saw Lord Chaitanya, he became even more ecstatic. And when Lord Chaitanya heard, instead of Krishna's name and Radha's name, his name was being chanted, he became angry. He just stood there watching. And when devotees saw him in that state, Chaitanya's not happy. But when they saw Advaita, when Advaita saw Lord Chaitanya in that state, he became even more ecstatic. He was twirling around like a cowherd boy, chanting louder and louder, and all the devotees became totally fearless in Advaita's association, and they all became leaping in the air, chanting Lord Gauranga. And Lord Chaitanya just was so embarrassed, he turned around and went right to his Gambira house and laid in his bed. And what did Advaita do? He said, "Let's go." He led the kirtan right to Lord Chaitanya's house. And they were tumultuously chanting outside of his house. And Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's assistant, said, "All the devotees are here." Lord Chaitanya was pretending to be asleep. And then he woke up to Govinda and he said, "Bring him in here." And they all came in. And when they came in, Lord Chaitanya just
again, was sleeping. And when they saw him in this state, Lord Chaitanya looked up and he looked to Srivas. He said, "You are a great pundit. Why are you doing this? Why are you, you're supposed to be knowledgeable in all the scriptures. Why are you hiding your knowledge in this way?" And Srivas said, "It is not me that is hiding. It is you. But you can no longer hide." And then Srivas put his hand up into the sky. Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing putting your hand in the sky?" Srivas said, "I'm blocking the sun. The sun cannot give any light anymore because I'm blocking it with my hand. But can I do that? Can anyone block the light of the almighty sun with the palm of their hand? It's not possible." So similarly, you cannot hide your supreme opulences, your supreme all-merciful nature as the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, Krishna. You can't hide it anymore. Look, there are thousands and thousands of people now all over Puri who are chanting your holy names. And Lord Chaitanya replied, "Srivas, you have defeated me." The greatest joy of Lord is to be defeated by the love of his devotees. Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, their whole lives, their souls, their everything, were showing their love for Lord Chaitanya by sharing that love with the people of this world. And one who does so defeats the Lord by the Lord's own sweet will. Advaitacharya, he brought Lord Chaitanya to this world by his loud cries of compassion for us. And when the Sankirtan movement was established and Lord Chaitanya fulfilled both his internal and external purposes of coming to this world, tasting the sweetness of Radha's love in the Gambira, establishing the Sankirtan movement, which in time would spread to towns and villages throughout the world. Paramakaruna Pahundari Jana Nitai Goda Chandra. Through Damodar Pandit, Advaitacharya sent a very mysterious, mystical poem to Lord Chaitanya, which was basically telling Lord Chaitanya, "You have fulfilled everything that I called you to do in this world. You have fulfilled your purpose. Now, as you like." And when Lord Chaitanya received that message, he understood, "My beloved devotee who brought me to this world is now giving his blessings so I could leave this world." That is the power of Advaitacharya's love, his compassion. Srila Prabhupada explains, when he was a little boy, he was in a drama. And in the drama, he played the role of Advaita. And Prabhupada said everyone in the audience was crying. They were weeping. We could also weep in gratitude because Srila Prabhupada in his life, he took the mission of Sri Advaitacharya to spread Lord Chaitanya's glories to the whole world. And today, we offer our gratitude. And in that spirit, united, we chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
10 million times louder. Footsteps of the mood of Advaitacharya, who cried out these holy names so loudly that they pierced material existence and entered into Lord Krishna's abode of Goloka. Let us loudly chant one more time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. The Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education announces 3-day seminar on Srimad Bhagavatam entitled One Story, Four Truths on 6th, 8th and 9th of February 2020 by His Grace Bhurjan Prabhu. For more details, please see the notice board. And also, Hindustani classical music classes.